about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Let's go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's morning. I'm hungry. How should I start my day? Lisa made for breakfast? Hip, hip, hooray. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Tummy, tummy, tummy. Lisa May.
My wiener's going crazy and it won't stop.
Is there nothing sacred? Have we lost our moral center? Just makes me want to pee on someone.
I just want to say that I think that was some unnecessarily high production value. I mean, honestly, is anyone as offended as I am at how much time went into that? That's the shocking thing here.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
God damn it, I love pot.
Roll another one.
Ooh, Vietnam, I hear it's lovely.
Just like the other one.
Yes, this show
this
delivers.
This seems to be about to quit.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
We're all a bunch of narrow-minded fools.
Roll.
Roll
another one.
I'm in love. I'm in love with my mattress.
Just like the other one.
Hey, cat.
What time is it? What time isn't it?
I don't have another cent.
If all this was still around, what would he be doing if he was around today?
I don't want to guard that joint.
Do you want a colorful around?
Just pass it around.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
I don't want to guard that joint, my friend.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
And now,
tomorrow on The Insider, TV's 500-pound man who loves being super obese. Tomorrow on The Insider,
our feature presentation.
I miss the old Insider with the medical freak show that they used to put on every night. Remember that?
They did find a niche that was all theirs.
every night it was the world's smallest man and the world's largest pig. I mean, it was just crazy all the stuff they used to come up with. Hey, party people, it is finally Friday. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're taking your calls in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number to get on the air and get yourself a prize. Why don't you? That's on the way. A little bit of an upgrade, by the way, behind the board, Lisa May. There's our friend Omar.
Everything's going to be so much smoother today.
Yeah, and I love the gays.
Exactly.
That's, right. That's how different you are from Mike.
Right.
I get it. Look, I love O. I think O's awesome, but I get an ass full of O from my wife because she loves him so much.
Yeah.
The women do love Omar.
The women so love Omar.
But your wife loves Mike, too. I think the thing is that she just doesn't love you.
Well, she wants to dress up Mike. You know what I'm saying? Because he's
like
so
a mannequin.
Gay. Because
he's so pretty,
for
right?
Sure. Exactly. He's so
right.
pretty. Yeah,
but
he's like a trophy husband is what he would be. I'd be a sex god husband.
it is interesting
you're
how you like, you like different people for different reasons. I think she likes Mike for the same reason all women like Mike is that he's pretty. Okay, but once you get to know him, you spend 30 seconds with the dude and you realize he's a douche, right? So
right.
I think Mike's out. Omar, good looking guy, also like warm and cuddly.
Right, exactly.
So
yeah, thanks,
smart.
Bean. Wow, I'm getting a little turned on, Bean.
It's not me saying it. Look, I disagree. I do everything I can to throw cold water on that,
right.
But that's what she said. She's like, how is work? And I'm like, it was fine. She's like, how's Omar? It's that kind of a thing, you know? So. Anyway, good to see you.
Nice.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew is on the air. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
So what it do?
What it do, nephew?
What It Do is Iron Man 2 coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this Tuesday, September 28th from Paramount Home Entertainment. You get a copy for free right now just for calling us for Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew. All right, let's kill that music to the callers if we could, oh, and let's start on line one with Jason. He was at one of the best shows of the year last night, I'm betting. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What It Do Nephew?
What It Do Nephew?
What hey, do, Jason. Baby, what It Do?
You guys were at the show last night as well?
No.
What?
We had a lot of people from here that were...
Yeah, a lot of people from the station went down. Yeah. But tell us about Muse. Was it your first time seeing them?
That was my first time seeing them live. And I remember listening to you one time being telling... I think they were at Coachella, or maybe it was one of those festivals where you said, you know what? Do those other bands get off stage and then watch Muse and say, why are we in this business?
Yeah, that's exactly what we said. Yeah, exactly. They're unbelievable live, aren't they?
They were absolutely fantastic. For a three-piece band, they blew the doors off the joint. It was fantastic. It was awesome.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So the reason I'm calling is my buddy and I, we went. We were sitting on the aisle seats. We had decent seats, not great. But as we were waiting for the encore, this guy kind of comes rumbling down the stairs across the aisle from us, a couple cute girls. He tries to weasel his way in and sit down. Everybody's standing up. So there's no chair. He weasels his way in. Anyway, the girls start complaining. Security comes down. Says, sir, you're going to have to leave. You're going to have to leave. You won't leave. Finally, they tell him, sir, you're going to have to leave. So what did he do? He sits down in one of the chairs, reaches into his pocket, pulls out a joint, lights it, sits there, and tries to smoke it.
Hey, dude, wow. That wasn't me, dude. I was back here at the studio. Okay, that wasn't me.
I'm not leaving.
He was a man on a mission, man, I'll tell you.
Oh, that's awesome.
He was a little over-lubricated, and it was the comedic moment of the night. It was fantastic.
You know, I really thought at the end it was going to be Kevin.
Oh, really?
I really did, too.
That's what I thought, too. I thought Jason was going to say, yeah, and the guy was really fighting. Then at one point I heard him say, what did you do?
Yep. I swear to God, because I know he was there last night.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious.
Great call, Jason. Thank you so much. And by the way, here's the thing about Muse. You've heard their records. You know they're unbelievably talented musically. And A, how do they make that much noise with just three guys?
Yeah.
And B, they also have a great stage presence. I mean, there's some people who just come alive on the stage that look like they're having a great time. You're not just watching a guy recreate the record and it's boring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just do it all. So anyway, well done. Let's try Roberto. Speaking of shows, there's another big one just ahead this week. And Roberto, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What'd it do?
What did you do, nephew?
What did you do?
I live right down the street from the Epicenter where you guys are going to be at today.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw the forecast, and it's going to be over 100 this weekend.
Yeah, this was an unfortunate time for the heat wave to return just when, you know, a million people are heading out to the Dirt Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's all blacktop, so it's not, that doesn't help very much.
And it's going to be cold at night, right?
Yeah, it's going to be cold at night.
Yeah.
I'm at my shop right now. I mean, I have my sweater on and everything because it's pretty chilly right now.
I think the cold is relative. If it's 100 during the day, I don't think it's so cold at night you're in danger of being frostbitten or anything like that. But, it is quite a contrast in the temperature, that's for sure. Thanks for the comment. I'm going to Las Vegas this weekend where it's going to be 97 tomorrow.
So. It's actually going to be cooler there.
Not ideal. And one more. How about DeJuan A. Johnson from Los Angeles, California, ladies and gentlemen. DeJuan, what's going on, buddy?
All good, thank you. Hey, Kevin Levine. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, DeJuan.
How you been?
Awesome. And I like to sing happy birthday to my, quote, my lost friend, Laura Fernandez.
Well, let's maybe not do that. Maybe back off on your lost friend, Laura Fernandez, and give her that space that we've talked about so many times.
I'm just going to sing her a quick happy birthday.
Yeah, but I don't really think that's appropriate, DeJuan, because you're supposed to be not talking about her and staying away from her, and I don't want the message to get out that you were calling talking about her again. It's better if she thinks you've forgotten about her.
I would not bother her for a while, though.
I know, but it's probably
bother,
best.
Beans.
It's time to bother, right? She's too. I think here's my advice, DeJuan, is she knows you're thinking about her. It's best just to wait till she calls you and says she's interested in talking again.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I just think that would be better. But look, I'm sure that she knows that you're thinking about her because a minute doesn't go by that you're not thinking about her, okay?
Yeah, I really like her, though.
I know you do, but look, I've learned this lesson the hard way, too. Sometimes it's best to stay away from those girls that you really like.
Yeah.
You gotta find a new girl.
I don't follow them at all.
No, don't bother. You shouldn't. But you should find a new girl. You should find somebody
someone
that wants to talk to you.
And I think one of her friends are listening to this right now.
Okay.
Well, she can pass on that message.
Yeah, let's hope that the takeaway message is DeJuan's a great guy. He didn't come on too strong. He was thinking about me, and that's nice, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I think one of Laura and Jessica's friends are listening to this right now.
That's what I heard a minute ago. Yeah.
They know about this. And
okay.
Work for them, know about this.
All right. I think we'll leave it there then, DeJuan. Thank you so much for calling. Have a great weekend, all right?
You too.
Bye, DeJuan.
Okay. See you later. How do you think that went?
As good
message
as could
received
be expected,
or no?
Not at all.
I'm trying to let him down gently.
I know.
All right. An all new Kevin and Bean show straight ahead. Let's talk about that, shall we?
If you mess with the bull, get back on that horse.
That's excellent advice. Once again today, as it has been every day this week, we are star-studded. We got so much going on, I don't even know how we're going to fit it all in. Our friend Jason Schwartzman stops by again today. He, of course, you just saw him in the Scott Pilgrim movie. He's a terrific actor, funny guy, nice guy. He also stars in the big show Bored to Death, which returns this weekend. He's going to bring along a co-star of his from the show, a little man by the name of Ted Danson, also on the program today.
Very cool.
Omar, you seen that show Bored to Death? It's very funny.
I have not, but I've seen clips on the internet, and it looks amazing.
It's really good, and Zach Galifianakis is in it.
Yeah.
Totally different from anything else on TV, which is one of the reasons I like it so much. Also, The Amazing Race returns this weekend. Phil Kogan is going to be joining us. Phil's always a lot of fun. It's Friday. That means Ralph's got the movie beat. If you missed our interview with Eric Roberts from The Sharktopus at the very end of yesterday's show, we got highlights of that for you coming up. Of course, that airs Saturday night, tomorrow night on the Sci-Fi Channel. Mike Henry talking about the Cleveland show, also coming back this weekend. Ralph recently sat down with Michael C. Hall, the star of Dexter, to talk about how they're going to kick off the fourth season this weekend. We've got that interview for you. LaQuisha reviews last night's Jersey Shore. And as if that's all not enough, our Katy Perry is in trouble. Katy Perry
what?
Under fire, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm sorry, if somebody's coming after Katy Perry, I got to stand up for her.
Well, yeah.
So
okay.
We'll discuss the controversy, and it involves her boobies. So Katy Perry under a microscope today, just where I want her. That's all coming up. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat right after this on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 5:53. This is the Kevin and Bean show. Ralph Garman joins us once again. We're in his Philadelphia Eagles colors today because it's Friday.
E-H-G-L-E-F Eagles!
Here for the showbiz beat. Who are you playing this weekend, by the way?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Feel good about that?
They're not even a real team, are they?
I don't think so.
A team in the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I didn't know there was a minor league NFL franchise, but apparently there is.
Sounds like arena football. Sounds like something you watch inside a stadium.
It kind of does.
Just all passing league or something.
I used to mock the Panthers, too, but didn't they end up being pretty good for a couple of seasons?
Carolina went to the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. They seemed real all of a sudden at that point. But all right, well, good times. What Phil Kogan, by the way, from The Amazing Race.
That's right, brother.
Top of the hour. No, that's
Hulk Hogan.
That's Hulk Hogan.
Oh, you're sorry.
Time for the showbiz beat.
Well, today's the day. Lindsay Lohan will walk past a platoon of paparazzi and into a Beverly Hills courtroom where a judge could decide to send her back to jail for flunking one of her mandatory drug tests. Well, two of her mandatory drug tests. Apparently, Judge Eldon Fox will be presiding over the hearing once again. And this is... this could go either way. People are speculating that she could get 30 days in jail if the judge chooses, because he did warn her when he gave her the probation that if she failed the test, that's what he would do.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But TMZ.com believes it probably won't happen. It seems a dirty drug test is only a misdemeanor charge regarding the probation, which means a bail amount must be set, and... Lindsay's favorite bondsman will probably be sitting front row for the festivities, so she may bail herself out, and then they may cut some deal later on, or he may say no bail and throw her right into jail. And if she does go to jail, she'll probably only serve about 5 days out of a 30-day sentence because of overcrowding. So, these are the possibilities.
Point.
Yeah, so that may weigh in the judge's decision of whether he sends her inside or not.
Caged Heat 2?
Caged Heat 2. It's her next movie. They like a man, any man. So we'll have to see what he does. But
that's almost worth doing cocaine for, by the way, if it's only 5 days.
Yeah, really. You get out and you can start doing it all over again.
Right.
Judge Judy, by the way, said she would absolutely throw her in jail. Oh, I wish Judge Judy just solved all of life's problems.
I was watching Judge Alex yesterday.
Oh, and
I
Judge
was thinking,
Alex, yes.
I was thinking they should replace the Supreme Court with all the TV judges. How awesome would that be?
And
that
televise all the proceedings. And exactly,
yeah. Do it just like they do the People's Court in those shows, and that's how we make the laws of the land. I think they make a lot of sense sometimes.
Although the Supreme Court tends to weigh in mostly on some pretty boring cases.
Yeah.
It's always constitutional law, BS, whatever. You never get the fun cases.
You rarely get she pulled out my weave at the Supreme Court level. You're right.
Yeah, I heard some sports guys the other day talking about literally one of the guys, and a lot of sports broadcasters are ex-athletes, so they're not necessarily the sharpest knives in the drawer. Mm-hmm. But one guy asked, I probably shouldn't say who it is, but one guy asked his partner on the air, do you think the McCourt divorce case would reach the Supreme Court? And he was legitimately thinking, could this go that far? And the other guy was like, I don't think the Supreme Court really weighs in on divorce cases. But this is a big one. Yeah, I still don't think they do that.
That's funny.
Gotta love athletes. Lindsay Lohan's sister, Allie Lohan, is a chip off the old block. She is
How old is she?
16 years old.
Okay. I had to get the appropriate bell. Thank
you. Apparently she's landed a new modeling gig for Lindsay's clothing line. 6126,
was tough to land.
Which, by the way, is Marilyn Monroe's birthday.
That's really what
6126 means, yeah.
Oh.
Apparently, Us Weekly magazine's got some pictures of her showing off some of the fashions in her modeling gig, and some of the dresses apparently are pretty risque for a 16-year-old. So it looks like she's headed down the right path. She's following in the Lohan family tradition.
Well, Dina is her mom.
That's true. Scary day over at Warner Brothers last Friday. This story is just starting to come out. The Los Angeles Daily News reporting that a guy named Michael Angel Rodriguez Cintron was arrested after trying to charge the gates of Warner Brothers with a vehicle full of flammable liquid and a fake gun.
Wow.
Apparently, Michael is quite bitter over a TV script he has written that he feels has been stolen by Warner Brothers. Oh, it's one of those situations.
Wait, the situation
the aliens
did it?
No. The aliens told me to write the script, and now you sold it. I know, there's something like that. It's got to be insane. And speaking of insanity, Matt LeBlanc went off in London last week because someone in the crowd of reporters that was covering the event had the nerve to call him Joey.
Really?
Apparently, he just launched into a profanity-laced tirade at the paparazzi and reporters who were outside London Fashion Week party. And he strongly suggested everyone else refer to him by his real name or there was going to be more trouble.
He needs to lighten up a little bit on that.
You should thank your lucky stars that they remember who the F you are, Matt LeBlanc.
No kidding.
Because
not much happening since then.
No. I don't think they're working on
any successful spinoff, Life with Joey. That did great, right?
I don't think they're working on a Lost in Space sequel anytime soon, Matt. So you may want to take it down a notch.
Ralph, I have a question for you.
Because good.
You've been in some pretty high-profile movies and television shows throughout the years.
Yes, huge.
Nothing compared to Sharktopus tomorrow night. But do you sometimes get recognized from your TV and movie work?
I only get recognized on the rare occasion that I do get recognized for the Joe Schmo Show.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's the only time
okay.
people will come up to me and say, were you that dude who threw the plates into the fireplace with that guy on that reality show? They don't really know the name of the show usually, but that's the one time I usually do get recognized.
What about all the Officer Gruden fans out there?
No, not a lot of Officer Gruden love. I think it's because I was wearing a uniform exactly like 27 other guys on every episode, so we don't really stand
out. They recognize you from Wipeout, right?
That's John Henson.
What?
He's a different guy. Well,
you're not on that?
No, I am not.
Are you sure?
No.
I could have sworn.
I'm sure I'm
really?
Not. Pretty much.
For years, people thought Ralph hosted The Soup. It was kind of funny for a while.
Yes, and then during the height of Joe Schmo, people kept going up to John Henson saying how much they liked his Joe Schmo. Joe Schmo, so I got a little revenge when it was all said and done. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Kevin Sorbo, Hercules. Oh, Psycho Mike is so bummed he's not here for Hercules' birthday.
That's why he's not here. Yeah. Celebrating.
He's in Vegas celebrating Hercules' birthday. He is 52 years old today. Actress, writer, Nia Vardalos. She's my big fat Greek wedding, right?
Yes.
Is that
right?
Yeah, she is.
She's 48 years old today. And actor Kyle Sullivan from Malcolm in the Middle is 22. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:09. Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the movie beat coming up in minutes here. Eric Roberts from Shark to Puss.
Yeah,
also talk to Jason Schwartzman and Ted Danson from the show Bored to Death coming back this weekend. So much show on the Kevin and Bean Show today. And in a minute, we'll talk to Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race. By the way, this Amazing Race, everybody loves to travel or thinks they love to travel. You watch some of these places they go, though, and it can't be much fun for Phil. Right?
Oh,
because
yeah.
No matter how crappy the country is, I mean, he's there to work and his accommodations may be, you know, maybe as good as are available at the time. They go to a lot of places that aren't fun. He needs to be traveling with Oprah instead.
Yep. The Oprah Show is going to Australia.
Because I guarantee Oprah is not out there in a tent in the rain in Bangladesh. I guarantee that's not how she rolls. You know what I'm saying?
You're so right.
But we couldn't be more excited about the return of the Great Amazing Race. It's this Sunday night at 8:30 on CBS, a special 90-minute premiere. And it's always a thrill to catch up with the host of the show, Phil Kogan, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean program right now. Hey, Phil, how are you, man?
I'm excellent. I'm really sorry I can't be in studio. It's one of my favorite visits. I always love coming into the studio with you guys.
Oh, thanks.
No, you're very kind. We always enjoy it as well. You know, we were just talking about how differently you must travel for the Amazing Race than Oprah is going to travel when she takes her audience to Australia. I suspect she's 5-star first class all the way.
I have a feeling you might be right about that. I do know that she likes luxury. and I can assure you that we're definitely not always about luxury.
Exactly. Phil, every year you guys manage to do – I mean, there's a reason you guys won the Emmy 7 years in a row for Best Reality Show. Every year you guys manage to put together an unbelievably compelling group of contestants. You go to amazing places that it's just a thrill to be able to watch from my living room. But this is the first year I remember before the show started, the viral video of the chick getting hit in the face with a watermelon is one of the funniest things we've ever seen. How unbelievable was that happened?
Well, you know, there was an executive over at CBS and had suggested that we maybe, you know, leak a clip, just put a clip out and just give people a taste, so to speak, of what was coming up on the first episode. And we had no idea that it was going to, you know, do what it did. It would become as viral as it did. And what happens in the first episode is that they travel from Boston, they go to England, they're taking part in some medieval challenges in this very first episode. And Brooke and Claire are taking part. They're a really crazy team, really a lot of fun to watch. They're taking part in a roadblock, and this slingshot that the teams are using to fire these watermelons at a knight in shining armor.
Of course they are.
it is the Amazing Race.
Yes.
This watermelon reverses and instead of going away from her, comes fair smack. The watermelon comes right into her face, and the clip is so powerful that overnight it went from nothing to a million downloads, and I knew it was viral when I went on a bike ride the next morning, and people, you know, there's about 100 people on this bike ride. We all regroup at the top of a hill, and there are people there that don't know that I'm from Amazing Race, but I know the show, but you know, I'm all covered up with my helmet and gloves and glasses and everything, and not that the gloves would hide my identity, but anyway. I heard them talking about it, and then throughout the day, I went to a coffee shop and I heard people talking about it there.
No kidding.
And then people would stop me on the street. Oh my God, that clip! I saw that clip. It went insane.
It was amazing. It was incredible. And here's the thing. First of all, it happened so fast. I mean, in a quarter of a second, that watermelon smashes back and hits her in the head. Thank God the clip shows it then in slow motion, so you can see what happened. But in a million years, I would never expect a slingshot or catapult or something like that would have that reaction with a watermelon. I wouldn't imagine that it could throw it backwards.
No, and that's the thing is, I mean, you know, over the years we've prided ourselves in testing and retesting everything that we do. We act as guinea pigs, and people from the show jump in and test things and make sure, you know, that they work for people at different heights and different weights and, you know, male, female, and all of that. We test and test and test and test, and, you know, to sort of understand the variables of the things that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Never in our testing did we ever anticipate that happening.
No.
And the leather pouch that they put the watermelon in somehow wrapped itself around the front of the watermelon as it was being fired out, so that it wrapped around and then threw the slingshot with all its force back at the contestant and hit him right in the face. And nobody, like, we were all shocked. We're like, how did that happen?
We have the video up at KevinBean.com if you check the Internet Roundup if you have not yet seen the video. Phil Kogan is on the phone talking about the amazing race coming back this Sunday on CBS. 11 teams, 32,000 miles, 4 continents, 30 cities. And as usual, you're going some new places this year. I want to ask you about two of them, Phil, because you've seen it all. Bangladesh. I have some friends who just got back from doing some World Vision relief work in Bangladesh. And the way they described it to me is you can't believe it exists on planet Earth. It's so different from America. What was your experience like there?
Well, it is the most densely populated country in the world. I believe it's a little bit like packing the entire population of the United States and Mexico into you know, space the size of California.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about a sensory overload is the way I guess I would describe it, with the smell and the sights and so on. But the people are so friendly. I mean, they live on top of each other, quite literally. And you take somebody from Middle America who is used to, you know, wide open spaces, you know, jumping in the truck and going down to the local store to buy a cup of coffee with big open spaces, and then they've never earned a passport, and you suddenly throw them into one of the most densely populated country in the world, you know you're going to get great reactions. And then it's hot, and they're sweating, and they're doing challenges, and they're racing across the city, and they're trying to work out the various communications. That all equates to great TV.
And one of the things that has been the hallmark of a lot of your winners over the years, not all, is a willingness to accept the local culture, yes, get along with the people, not treat them like an enemy like some people do. And in a place like Bangladesh that just turns everything you know upside down, you got to be a pretty aware person to be able to make that work for you instead of just looking at everything like an obstacle.
Well, I think, you know, really key observation about the show. It's something that I tell people. You know, just generally people will stop me and say, hey, when you travel, what do you do? Well, how should you, you know, act when you go around the world? And I always say, you know, be respectful of the people that you meet. Be respectful of their culture, and people will go out of their way to help you. It would be a little bit like somebody coming from overseas and judging American culture and saying, you know, and sort of screwing their nose up at how we live. When
right.
you go somewhere, it's like going into somebody's house. You're a guest. You try to be respectful of the way that they run their household. And it may not be the way that you want to run your household or what you're used to, but at the end of the day, you got to respect that you are in somebody else's house. And that's just like going to somebody else's country.
Absolutely.
And accept that there is a difference. And those teams that embrace that come away with a new perspective. It doesn't mean that they necessarily have to take that back to America and start living a completely different way, but it is an appreciation of the fact that people are different. People
well,
have different
my
cultures.
My friends that went to Bangladesh, they ripped the plumbing out of their home when they got back to America. I thought that was weird. I thought that was going too far. But
yeah, all right, that is definitely taking it too far.
One more place, Phil. I've been lucky enough to do some traveling myself, and I've been into the Arctic Circle, both from Alaska and from Norway. And it's one of the most beautiful places on Earth up there. I don't know how deep you went into the Arctic Circle, but what did you make your guys do?
Well, you know, we described it because they go from actually some extreme heat. They go from Africa into the Arctic Circle. So I described it to someone as sort of going from the furnace to the freezer. So there's ice involved, I'll tell you that. And and as you will know from going up there, that's a very unique culture up there as well. I mean, these are people who are quite hardy. I mean, they're used to living off the land. So we have them really connecting with nature, connecting with the ice, and connecting with a lot of the traditional aspects of making a living, carving out a living in that area of the world.
I can't wait. The Amazing Race returns for an all-new season this Sunday night, a special 90-minute premiere at 8:30. Phil Kogan, you're the best, man. Great on TV, great on the radio, too. We always enjoy catching up with you. Have a great weekend.
Well, I really appreciate it. I got to tell you, every time I'm on your show, the number of people that tell me how much they love your show, love listening to it, I'm like, yeah, I know. I always have a good time when I'm on your show.
All right, Phil. Talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
Not that you care what I like, but one of my favorite new K-Rock songs is Animal by Neon Trees. It's coming up next here on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 6:28. This is the Kevin Bean Show. It's Friday. Ralph is here. Time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching one man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Does it make me a little boy because I can't wait to see this owl movie?
Yes. Yes, it does.
It looks awesome, doesn't
it? Or a retarded adult. One of the two.
It doesn't look awesome?
Not to me, no.
The owl's flying around trying to save owlkind by finding the guardians.
I have a friend who thinks owls are super creepy.
No, they're cool. Owls
I think
are
they're cool.
I love birds in general. You know the hummingbird's my favorite animal in the world.
I do know that.
Owls are close. And these owls talk. And they carry fire and they fly to the great tree and they find the guardians to protect against the pure ones who are actually evil. Oh, I'm really looking forward to this. Hmm. The trailer really turns me on.
If this were Kevin saying this exact same thing, I feel like you would be raining on him right now.
But this is based on a legendary series of books called The Owls of Gahooly.
Uh-huh.
And by all accounts, it's Harry Potter-esque. Oh, look at the owls!
Oh, they're so cute! The owls. They send us some.
Now, is this the one that the 300 director is behind?
Yeah, Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder is the man behind Legend of the Guardians, The Owls of Gahooly. And Hugo Weaving's one of the voices. The animation is brilliant, by the way. It's brought to you by the people who did Happy Feet, the Penguin movie, which I also loved, by the way. And it's in 3D, so you got all that going for you. And you've got owls.
Is the owl movie a hoot, Ralph?
Oh.
What?
File, please. Yeah. Please file. Here's a clip from Legend of the Guardians where Jim Sturgess' character, Soren, he's the sort of the young hero of the piece. He is going to one of the elders in the owl flock to find out how to find the guardians in order to save all of owl kind.
Dar said your spines can guide us.
And they will. Now to reach the tree, keep between the whale's fin and the eye of Glox. Never go outside those stars. Now go!
Remember, when your wings are weak, your spirit's done, and you're flown as far as you can, you're halfway there!
What did he say?
We're halfway there!
See, he thinks he's halfway there,
no,
but he's not.
No!
This is like a Lord of the Rings for owls. I'm gonna get a pet owl. And I'm going to go find the Guardians.
It better be in 3D. That's all I have to say.
It is in 3D. You Again opens this weekend.
Oh, God.
Kristen Bell.
Yes.
Sigourney Weaver. Jamie Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Odette Justman. It's a babe fest.
Yeah.
But I can't.
No.
I couldn't possibly.
I might.
Oh, Lisa.
I could.
Oh, no.
Lisa's Miss Rom-Com.
It could happen.
That. It is about Kristen Bell's character. Her brother is marrying the girl who made her life a living hell in high school. Ooh. Was the girl who sort of was the mean girl, who was the popular one, who made her feel bad about herself. And then we find out that Jamie Lee Curtis, who plays her mom, had a similar experience in high school. And that girl turns out to be the aunt of the girl that her brother's marrying.
Well, what are the odds? Bad people run in the families.
That's right, yeah. Lisa. So they get together again, and they have to try to live through the feelings that have been brought up from their high school memories. And you have Betty White as a hilarious grandmother who is so oversexed. Oh, does she love to have sex?
But she's old, right?
She's so old.
Oh, my God.
And yet she says really inappropriate things, and that nothing is funnier.
That's crazy.
Than an old woman acting all sexy and trying to get laid. Oh, I could just watch it forever.
If she had a pet owl, you'd go.
I would. Here's a scene where Betty White, who plays Kristen Bell's grandma, is asking her for some help in sort of a disgusting situation.
So, Grandma, is there anything I can help you with?
Oh, here, dear. They were a little loose. We can't have them falling out on the dance floor.
I don't think I
they're
should,
just
I don't know
pictures.
How.
Get over it. Now, and be sure and press hard, dear. We need a tight seal. I might be kissing later.
Oh.
See, she has to help her put her dentures in because she might be kissing later.
Right.
Because she is so sexy, and she loves sex so much.
I love Betty White, as you know. No one loves Betty White more than I do, but this movie does look terrible.
Yeah. And Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, sequel, of course, to the very popular film Wall Street by Oliver Stone. He returns to the same territory.
Gordon Gekko is out of prison after going away for some insider trading, and now he is back in the world of high finance. Shia LaBeouf plays his young protege. Charlie Sheen played it in the original. And Josh Brolin plays Gecko's sort of arch enemy. And in this scene, Shia LaBeouf is dealing with Josh Brolin when he realizes that his mentor is perhaps not the most scrupulous of financial barons.
You're a real piece of work, Brendan. You're giving the money to Babico because it's a hustle. It's all inside. It's why your oil companies are safe, right?
The mentor-protege relationship is not emotional.
You're not my mentor. Lou Zabel was, and whether you admit it or not, your raid destroyed Zabel and forced him to suicide. So you may talk about moral hazard. You are the moral hazard. You are the worst kind of toxic debt the system is polluted with.
Is this a threat?
Absolutely.
Oh!
I do love that Shia LaBeouf, though.
Once again, Oliver Stone hits us over the head with his giant hammer of dialogue. You are the most toxic thing that exists in this system. All right, we get it. Author's message. I grow weary of Oliver Stone sometime. He is so overwrought.
But you love Michael Douglas.
I do.
You love Shia, right?
I do, and I will go to see this. I will go to see this because of the actors and the performances that look terrific. And Carey Mulligan also in this film. Playing Gecko's daughter. So I definitely will check it out. But the only movie I'm really excited about this weekend is The Guardians and seeing those owls flying, carrying fire. I can't wait.
That's okay. We can get a new movie review.
I love owls. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
If you are going to Epicenter 2010 this weekend, be sure to check out KROQ.com for what you can and can't bring. If you're not going, check out KROQ.com for all the live coverage from the event this weekend. You are listening to the world-famous KROQ. It is 6:57. Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
Speaking of this weekend, I do want to mention again that here in Los Angeles, the big Italian festival, the Feast of San Gennaro, is happening. And if you have a chance or you're looking for something to do this weekend, I really recommend you get into Hollywood there at Hollywood and Highland and check it out. It is such a good time. There's tons of great food and booze and music and just people walking around. It is a street festival, the likes of which you don't see much of here in Los Angeles because there aren't a lot of neighborhood community kind of things going on. But it's so much fun. Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla have put it together, and it's their ninth year. We went last night to check out the opening night and just had such a good time.
I saw a picture of you with Zach Galifianakis at Kevin Dean.com today.
Yeah, we were hanging out at the table. It was me, Zach Galifianakis, and Carson Daly. It was an odd pairing, or trilogying, if you will. And we just had a blast, so I really recommended it.
Does Zach talk like a normal person, by the way?
Very much so, and he's very funny.
Yeah, he sure is.
But not in, like, the hangover kind of funny, you know? Just in a regular conversation, just a very dry wit, and we had a good time, so... I recommend it highly this weekend if you're looking for something to do here in L.A. Meanwhile, let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Oliver Stone, I mentioned just a little bit ago, he's got a new movie in theaters this weekend, Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, and he's doing a ton of press trying to promote that film naturally. One of his appearances was on something called the Joy Behar Show.
Oh.
You see, Joy Behar is just so wildly entertaining on The View, they had to give her her own show. Are you effing kidding me? I did not see it, but apparently he launched into quite the diatribe against George W. Bush and his administration.
He's not over that yet?
Apparently not. Look, the guy is ultra-political and ultra-liberal and ultra-vocal about his political leanings, obviously.
He already had a whole movie, though, to make fun of W.
I know,
remember?
I know.
Why is he still going on about it?
Because he's still got a wild hair, and he says George W. Bush was stupid. Called him stupid. It was so funny when that movie came out, by the way, W, and he said, oh, I have no agenda. I have no political agenda here.
Yes.
I'm just simply telling the man's life story.
Trying to kind of get into his head.
Yeah,
really.
Right. He said Dick Cheney was a very dangerous man, and he said anyone who votes for Sarah Palin just doesn't think at all. He compared conservative voters to the Ku Klux Klan and then said that New York and California should secede from the Union.
I strongly disagree with that. I reject that.
So lots of people are talking about him, but you can't take Oliver Stone too seriously because...
No, he's an idiot.
He is. And he's a blowhard, and he will just go off on endless rants about almost anything. please, God, don't ask me about Kennedy or Vietnam. You will never get out of that room. So, a lot of people upset, naturally.
Guess what's going to happen to him? They're going to be put to death.
That's right. That's what he would do. Lady Gaga's meat dress. I was so concerned when the meat dress was worn because I was thinking, what's going to happen to the meat dress? What do you do with the meat dress now?
Well, they're going to grill it up,
do
I
you
hope.
Throw it on the Barbie? Do you, you want some man meat? Does everyone get some man meat when you throw those steaks on the...
I think you freeze it if you want to keep it, right?
Oh, wrong, Omar. No? I know you would think that.
Yeah.
It's so like you. But actually, what designer Frank Ferdinand's... Frank Fernandez. I was thinking of... Frank Fernandez. He was the designer. He has decided that he's going to turn the dress into jerky. This way, everyone will be able to see it. It'll be archived for future fashion designers to be able to check out for
see
years
it or
to come.
Eat it.
No, to see it.
Oh, not the kind of jerky you eat then.
Well, yeah. It's the kind of jerky you eat. Of course, the dress is made out of the kind of beef you eat, first of all. But in order to preserve it, how do you preserve it so people can see how you built this dress? He's decided to dry it out, and that way people will be able to see it forever.
Ouch. Ugh. That's a lot of beef.
That is a lot of beef.
That's so gross.
And now it's all jerky. Today's the day. Lindsay Lohan headed to court. We will keep you posted. If anything happens this morning, I don't know what time she's supposed to show, but I know the
8:30.
8:30. Paparazzi and reporters are staking outside the theater. Well, it is kind of a theater. The courtroom. Waiting to see what happens. No one really knows how the judge will react when Lindsay shows up for a mandatory court appearance. Of course, she violated her probation by failing two random drug tests that she was subject to. And here's the deal. She can go to jail for up to 30 days if the judge sees fit. Here's the thing. She would only serve about 5 days or less because of overcrowding. And the judge may sentence her back into treatment. We're not sure exactly what's going to happen, but we'll find out later today. I know Judge Judy said she would absolutely send her behind bars. She said it on Regis and Kelly Ripa this week. She says it sends out a dangerous message when the justice system doesn't follow through. So she just wants to teach us all a lesson by sending Lindsay to jail.
Okay, then.
Does that send a lesson, really, to anyone?
No.
I don't think it does, either.
And honestly, with celebrities, it never really follows through.
No. Today's celebrity birthday is Kevin Sorbo. He, of course, invented that delicious ice cream-like fruit treat that we all enjoy so much.
No.
Oh, and on a hot summer day, you get a cup of Sorbo, and you just, it's just so delicious, and it's light and refreshing. It's not as heavy as ice cream.
That's
what I like
about it. This is the actor who starred as Hercules. This doesn't have anything to do with delicious treats, no.
Nina Vardalos is 48 years old today, and actor Kyle Sullivan from Malcolm in the Middle, he is 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Actor Jason Schwartzman from Bored to Death. What a funny show. So glad that's coming back this weekend, along with his co-star Ted Danson, both on the show next hour. Mike Henry from The Cleveland Show. Ralph talks to Michael C. Hall about the return of Dexter this weekend, and LaQuisha reviews Jersey Shore. Our lives would be empty without all this television that's going
true.
On right now.
Yeah.
All right, so let's turn our attention to another TV show that has been quite controversial and in the news this week. You don't usually expect any kind of controversy out of Sesame Street, the children's program over there on PBS. But this week, they are in the middle of it. They released a clip online of the beautiful Katy Perry doing a little sketch and some singing of her song Hot and Cold with Elmo. And you're not going to believe the firestorm this created. Let's listen up.
Hi, Elmo.
Hi, Miss Katy.
Are you ready to play dress up?
Dress up?
You said you wanted to play dress-up. Well, don't you? Come on, Elmo. Don't you want to play?
No,
Elmo! You want to play, so I wore dress-up clothes.
So, you can see the song. I kind of tuned it up. They end up changing the lyrics a little bit for Sesame Street to make it appropriate, but that's her big number one song called Hot and Cold. It's not, by the way, I Kissed a Girl or something where you could go, wow, little kids shouldn't be hearing about I Kissed a Girl. So Katy Perry's on the Sesame Street, and they post the video up on YouTube, and it gets a million hits in an hour, like it does, because it's Katy Perry, and she's got those, right?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. So people are just going berserk over this clip, because Katy Perry is wearing, I don't know, Lisa, you've seen the picture. I don't know anything about fashion. How do you describe that kind of dress that she's wearing? It's not exactly low cut, but it is form-fitting to her figure, right?
It's the kind where it looks like you're strapless, but it's actually that really sheer fabric that goes over your shoulders. So it's sort of like a bra, but it's not like she's spilling out at all. It totally covers her.
And by the way, Katy Perry has enormous boobs, and we've seen her. We have some great picture galleries up at KevinDeBean.com where you've seen a lot of outfits that she wears are unbelievably sexy.
Yeah.
And she didn't wear any of those on To Sesame Street. She wore certainly not a conservative outfit, but not anything racier than what you'd see stepping outside wherever you're listening right now and looking up and down the street. It's a pretty typical outfit that people wear,
yeah,
right?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay, people are going crazy with this, and we assume parents who think that somehow their little kids are watching Sesame Street and they see the tops of Katy Perry's boobs and somehow that's going to turn them into rapists or something. Why, what is the fear here if somebody sees an attractive woman with a good figure on Sesame Street?
I don't know. That is really confusing.
And the complaints got so loud that PBS came out and said they're now not going to air Katy Perry's little song with Elmo on Sesame Street.
Really?
It's not even going to make the TV show. Because of the reaction that it got to the video. Now, we have posted the video up at KevinDeBean.com, and we have room for your comments. And even among our listeners, because we put this video up last night, even among our listeners, there are people who say it's not appropriate. I mean, some people write in and go, hey, are you guys serious? Kids don't have dirty minds. It's the filthy minds of adults who take this too far. Which, by the way, is a pretty good point because I don't think there's a 5-year-old or however old you are when you watch Sesame Street that's looking at Katy Perry and is getting turned on by it. They're not sexualizing her, is what I'm saying.
And,
you know? I mean, she just looks like a lady on the TV is all. Someone else writes, oh, please, it's nothing kids haven't seen before. The outfit is definitely tamer than her usual get-ups with her boobies pushed up to her neck. That's true. I'm the mother of a 5-year-old girl. I see no problem with this. I'm assuming these mothers never breastfed their children.
That's what I was thinking about. Of course, they've seen breasts.
They have seen breasts, and they have seen a woman before with a figure. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, it's hardly porn, is what I'm saying. So I don't know who the people are who are complaining so violently about Katy Perry to the point where it got pulled off. But,
it's people who have seen her in other things and feel like children will watch that and know that she's racy and she does crazy magazine covers and wears skimpy clothes at other events.
So because she's the I Kissed a Girl girl,
yes,
she's not allowed to do something completely different for a different audience.
Honestly, because you hear those comments and you go, that's not really germane to what we're seeing on Sesame Street.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't be a tamer performance. I mean, it's just really cute and just really fun, and it's completely in the spirit of Sesame Street. So I don't know. I mean, when I saw that there was controversy, I was amazed. When I saw that that PBS decided to pull the clip, I was just gobsmacked by that. I thought, is it 1955? I mean, what's going on here?
We're definitely going backwards.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not advocating that they put sexy time on PBS. I'm not saying that at all. I mean, I just don't – I can't see anything that's inappropriate about this at all. But we do want to get your reaction at 1-800-520-1067. We want to take your calls. Let's start with Maggie real quick. Maggie's on line 2. She's got a point to bring up. And again, go to KevinDeBean.com if you want to see the video of Katy Perry with Elmo. Hi, Maggie. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Maggie.
You know what I was going to say is I'm a parent of 2 and I also teach, and I think that there's so much sexuality in the media, and I think that children, they don't know what's sexual. Like, they see it all the time, but to them it's not sexual because they're kids.
Right.
I think when they make it a sexual point, they're making it into something that the kids don't even realize what it is.
Yeah, it's their issue.
Have you seen the pictures or the video from this Sesame Street appearance?
I have.
What do you think of the dress?
It kind of looks, and I just again thought, you know, it was a small screen in my computer.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks like a lime colored bustier.
Yeah,
right,
with
right.
Silver sort of thing on the top. I didn't think it was terrible, and I think because they pointed out like that, you're like, oh, I guess it is. But I wouldn't have noticed that unless they made us think about it.
Yeah, I think it looks like any fairy tale kind of character would wear, you mm-hmm. know, on a show like that.
It could almost be a wedding dress.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and now that you say it was dress up, yeah, it looks a little more like a dress up outfit. I didn't realize she was playing dress up at the time when I was watching it.
Yeah,
and that's another thing, by the way, is it's completely consistent with what the skit is about, which is talking about dressing up, you know, playing dress up with Elmo. I mean, it couldn't be a tamer concept than what it is. But people are just wigged out by boobs. And I think Katy Perry should be on every TV show. And I think she should wear whatever she wants always. But I thank you for the call, Maggie. Appreciate that. Let's try Daryl. Daryl's got an excellent point, too. He's on line 3. And then we'll take a break and come back with your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I saw Katy Perry on the Kids' Choice. Mm-hmm. It looked way, way hotter. Way hotter. And those kids are, you know, probably age appropriate to be looking at her and saying, you know, she looks hot. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the kids' choice, the Nickelodeon shows probably has a little older fan base. I mean, isn't that more kids that are like 10, 11, 12, something like that for that show? Sesame Street, I think, is younger than that. But have you seen pictures of this outfit?
No, yeah, I did. I saw them last night. But I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, if you're it's who you're talking to. You know, she's talking to kids that may be, you know, a kid's choice. She might be talking to kids, like you said, are more age appropriate. And she's wearing stuff that's more revealing. And then, you know, with kids that are, you know, 3, 4, 5, whatever, she's wearing that dress. It doesn't seem, I don't see the connection.
I don't even understand what you're talking about.
You've lost us.
You completely lost me. So what you're saying is it was appropriate what she wore at the Kids' Choice Award, and it's also appropriate what she's wearing on Sesame Street, or you disagree with one of those choices?
I'm saying that the kids watching Kids' Choice Awards could connect with what she's wearing. They understand that it's revealing.
Okay.
But then if you look at the younger kids that are watching Sesame Street, they're not going to get it. There's no connection there, and it didn't seem as revealing as what she was watching on, or what she was wearing on Nickelodeon.
Got it. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. Did PBS make the right decision to pull the clip of Katy Perry with Elmo? I say no. What do you say? We'll take your calls coming up on the Kevin. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. A lot of emails flooding in, too, from people reacting to the controversy of Katy Perry and the appearance you'll now never see on Sesame Street. You can go to KevinBean.com and see the video that we're talking about. Some people think her outfit shows a little bit too much boob. I say no, but Chris disagrees with me, and he's got two little kids. Let's hear what he's got to say on line 8 on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Chris. Thanks for hanging on, man. How are you?
Doing pretty good, Kevin Bean. Hi, Lisa May. How are you doing?
Good.
So you've seen the video, and your kids have two or no?
No, kids haven't seen it. I watched it after they went to sleep last night, and all I got to say is if they'd asked her to cover up a little bit more and just not show off as much booby, then everything would be fine. The content of the song was totally fine.
Chris, let me ask you this. Do your kids ever leave the house? Do they ever go outside and see how regular people dress?
They do, and that's the thing. I think our society in general is over-sexualized. There's 5-year-olds watching Twilight, and all over the place, there's just way too much sex in our society. Kids grow up way too fast. And if this is one way that we can just slow down the growing up process a little bit, let kids be kids, and I'm all for that.
How old are the kids that you have that watch Sesame Street?
Well, they're 4 and 6. My 4-year-old watches it more than my 6-year-old. It's a little bit too babyish for my 6-year-old.
And you think your 4-year-old who is looking at Elmo on a screen would even notice or care what Katy Perry is wearing?
You know what? She may not care, but it's the whole indoctrination of, okay, this is what people normally wear. And if the blouses keep getting lower cut, then as a tween, as an 8 and 9-year-old, she's going to want to be dressing like that as well because it's quote-unquote normal.
Yeah.
Why can't we just have kids be...
Thanks, Al.
That ship has sailed.
Look, I understand where you're coming from, Chris, and I can't even begin to put myself in the shoes of a guy who has to worry about a little girl turning into a teenager in a few years. I mean, I'm sure that you are terrified by that to make sure that she grows up with the morals that you want for her. I look at this dress, though, and it's so not offensive, and it's so not revealing. It's not like anything else I've ever seen Katy Perry wear, where her boobs are everywhere bouncing up and down. I mean, you can kind of see the top of her boobs. That's about it. It looks like something anybody would wear.
No, I get your point. And it's not the worst outfit she's ever worn. It's probably one of the better ones. But I still think that, you know, let's keep it, let's mark it toward the tweens. If you want to put her on Hannah Montana or iCarly or something like that, then that's a more appropriate thing because it's watched by 8 or 9-year-olds. But
gotcha. All right, Chris. Glad you called, Ben. Thanks very much.
I understand what you're saying, but Alita Loresca wears things that in some ways are way more sexy than what Katy Perry was wearing.
She wears way too much clothes, though.
Yeah, but they're really tight, and she's really chesty.
Let's go to line 3. Lisa's making a reference to a local Los Angeles weather person who, by the way, does not wear revealing clothes at all, doesn't show any cleavage. It's just that her body is so curvy that it can't help but be sexualized. But I also don't think the kids of the age we're talking about, 3, 4 years old, are ever watching the news, so I don't even think that's a concern for them. Jennifer, hi, you're on the air. Thanks for holding on. What say you?
Hi, good morning, everyone.
This
is Jennifer. Hi. I'm a mother of 4, and I have an 8-year-old son, 3-year-old daughter,
5-year-old daughter and a 1-year-old, and they love Katy Perry. They've seen her in when she does her videos for California Girls, and I have no problem with it at all. I mean, what she wore on the Sesame Street, they haven't seen the video. I do want to show it to them because I just think they're so innocent, you know?
Yeah.
And what they wear is what she wore was totally fine, and I think PBS taking it out, I don't know. I think they were just being cautious about it, but, it you know, like the other caller said, it's right that they're just being cautious about it, but I just think that a lot of the times, people who don't really agree and make us think about it make it worse for everybody else. And I just
Well, they really do. Like, I mean, we do – that. You're making an excellent point, Jennifer. We do live in a society now where every business – and PBS is a business and they still want money – every business reacts to the loudest voice, and if somebody comes out and complains, they get scared off rather than putting something on that would be appropriate for 99.999% of their viewers. And they would enjoy it. The people, I mean, if they put that on Sesame Street, your kids would think it was a great sketch, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now I'm going to show it to them because I know they'd enjoy it.
Why? I have a question for you, Jennifer. Why can't you stop having kids? What's going on with you? They're falling out of your vagina. What's happening?
Yeah, I know. That's what my friends tell me.
You have to be done. That's all there is
I'm
to
done.
It. All right. Yeah. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you. Have a good day as well. Let's take one more. Let's take our friend Paul Lee, official cartoonist of the Kevin Amin Show, who is on the phone with us. Hey, Paul, what's going on, man?
Hey.
I
showed it to my 5-year-old Max yesterday, and he loved it. But the thing he focused on most was not Katy Perry, but Elmo's butt, because you could see Elmo's butt as he's running around Katy's leg. So he's been chortling all day, Elmo's butt.
That's way more interesting at that age.
And by the way, Miss Piggy has way bigger boobs, right? And wears way more revealing stuff than Katy Perry does in this thing. Where's the outrage over that?
I am outraged.
Because she's a bad chick.
You see more on ice skaters, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think it's an incredibly tame outfit, Paul. I mean, were you at all surprised by the outrage over this?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, me too. And I shouldn't be, because this is the society we live in. We're hurtling toward 1955. I don't know what's going on. But all right, dude, thank you very much for the call. Always great to hear from you. Say hi to Max as well.
All right.
You are listening to the Kevin Amin Show. Plenty more right after this. Be sure to check out krock.com for all details on all things Epicenter 2010, including the live webcast from both days. You are listening to the Kevin Amin Show on the world-famous KROQ. It is 7:40. Jason Schwartzman and Ted Danson from HBO's Bored to Death, both coming up next hour. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat in minutes. Speaking of Ralph, yesterday during the Showbiz birthday, we were talking about our love for Bruce Springsteen, who turned 61 yesterday. And he's the epitome, by the way, of a rock star who has figured out a way to age gracefully. Still be doing great work, still looking great, still sounding great, still out there giving 110% every night, never ended up doing like cheesy Disney movie themes or anything like that. I mean, the dude is still a rock star, and we're lucky enough to have him on the show from time to time. We thought it might be a good time to catch up with the boss since he had a big birthday yesterday and find out how he's doing. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Always great to talk to you. You know what? Big fans, Ralph and I both are, of you and your work, man.
Well, I appreciate it. It's just being an old man now, it's kind of hard to stay relevant, but it's always nice to know that people still like the music.
Well, I mean, you were recently on the cover of the AARP magazine, which I think surprised a lot of people.
Yeah,
but I mean,
I get a discount now. Movies. It's great. I don't pay full price, and I can eat at Denny's for cheap.
How does a senior citizen like you, who has all the money in the world, all the resources in the world, you know lots of famous people, how do you even celebrate a birthday? What's a guy like you do to make it fun and special?
Well, I remember yesterday when I was celebrating my birthday. Just had a couple of the old friends come by.
Right.
Some of the old gang from Asbury Park, New Jersey. We all got together at a small restaurant. And I was there with little Steve.
Nice.
Clarence. Big man!
Yeah, Clarence was there. Great.
We were hanging out and big cake was rolled out. Giant birthday cake.
Nice.
And I picked up a fork to have a taste, and suddenly a stripper popped out of it.
Oh, wow, that's a surprise.
It was a surprise. I was so surprised and startled, I stabbed her in the eye with the fork. Murdered her.
What?
You killed this?
Drove the cake fork right into her brain.
Oh, my God.
You killed the stripper who came out of your birthday cake?
Yeah, so I turned to Clarence and said, "All right, Clarence, get the chainsaw."
I hope that's not true.
People helped me pull the body out of the cake. We started cutting up in little pieces, and we didn't know what to do then, how to get rid of it. So we started jamming some of it down into the garbage disposal of the restaurant.
Bruce, what are you talking about?
And I said, make sure you cut off the fingertips of the can I deer.
You shouldn't be talking about this on the radio, Bruce.
Pulled all of her teeth out of her skull with some pliers so they couldn't have checked the dental records. And then I realized I had a room full of witnesses. So I took the knife that I was going to use to cut the cake and started cutting throats. I killed Steve and killed Clarence.
You murdered the E Street Band?
I did. So those of you looking forward to a tour sometime soon, you're out of luck. It's going to be me and a guitar on the run from the cops.
Why is it every time we talk to you, you've been on some sort of killing spree?
Because it's fun. And I'm from Jersey. That's what we do.
That is what you do. Well, happy birthday, boss.
Jason Schwartzman, Ted Danson, next hour on the Kevin DeBean Show, talking about HBO's Bored to Death. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 7:52. This is the Kevin DeBean Show. Ralph, I have a feeling that just like with the 9/11, you know, pre- and post-9/11, I have a feeling that we'll never be able to forget where we were when we first saw Sharktopus tomorrow night on the Sci-Fi Channel. And then everything that happens is going to be P.S., post-Sharktopus.
I agree. This will color your relationships with your family, your friends, how you see the world. Sharktopus will change everything.
Defining moment in American history, tomorrow night at 9 on the Sci-Fi Channel. S-Y-F-Y is how they lamely spell it. Ralph Garman, of course, one of the stars of the movie. I'm just saying it's pretty dumb.
And don't go anywhere like when the commercials come on, because I filmed some additional material of intros and outros in and out of the commercial stop sets in between the movie. So don't miss out on any second of hilarity
that
I'm involved with. So make sure you watch the whole thing, 9 o'clock on Sci-Fi.
Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Sharktopus's Ralph Garman.
I wish it was a half shark, half owl. That'd be great. Shark to owl. Octopus.
Sounds like a sequel to me.
Maybe Bono isn't the saint we think he is.
Oh, tell me more.
Maybe he's a big thief. A big stinking thief. You know Bono's One Foundation?
Uh-huh.
They have been researched. They have been looked into by authorities, and apparently it has been revealed that the organization, the nonprofit organization set up by Bono, which received, by the way, almost $15 million in donations in 2008, when they looked at the books, only 1.2% of that actually went to any of the causes that they represent.
No.
$185,000. That's all they gave out.
What do the rest can't all be administrative?
The figure published by the New York Post shows that $7.8 million went towards salaries.
Okay.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Where's the rest?
They don't know.
I know.
Wow.
You do, Omar?
Yeah. Sunglasses.
Sunglasses, yeah. Bono wears a lot of sunglasses. Yeah. Apparently, they buy a lot of stuff, too, to give out to raise profile of the foundation, like one water bottles and coffee mugs and notebooks, and there's a lot of gifts they give out.
Promotional things.
Yeah. And that gets very expensive as well.
That is disturbing and disheartening.
1% of the money goes to charities.
Well, maybe that's why it's called one.
Well, it's because it's 1%. I mentioned earlier in the showbiz news a couple hours ago that Matt LeBlanc was in London and he went off on a foul-mouthed tirade to reporters about someone calling him Joey accidentally. We've got actually the tirade here. Someone has from the UK Mirror wrote it down and published it. So this is what he said. Matt LeBlanc was at a party for Fashion Week in London. And according to the story, he bumped into a reporter's table, which knocked over some glasses. And jokingly, the reporter said, "You all right, Joey? How you doing?" And okay. LeBlanc turned on him and went into a rage, saying the following: "I'm not Joey. Don't you dare call me Joey. The papers say I'm finished, so don't call me effing Joey. I want to leave all that behind. I'm moving on. I'm not Joey. For the last time, I'm not effing Joey. It's Matt. Matt LeBlanc. Joey's in the past. I'm trying to do something new."
Wow.
He yelled.
Look, Joey is hardly an iconic character, by the way.
No, he's like Captain Kirk, man. He's forever. Didn't you ever go to the Friends conventions where everybody dresses up as Joey and they all give each other the secret handshake?
That's absurd. That's ridiculous. Hey, you don't want people to think you're Joey? Go out and do something else.
Yeah, well, I think he's going to try. So we'll have to wait and see. And this is going to make Omar very happy. According to In Touch magazine, Playboy magazine has offered Lea Michele of Glee $500,000 to pose naked for the magazine.
Is that Big Nose?
That's not Big Nose. Her name is Lea Michele, and she has a perfectly fine nose.
No,
and she plays Rachel.
Oh my God! Are they going to airbrush her nose down?
And they're going to offer
that's what they're gonna need to do.
$500,000 if she would pose naked in the magazine.
Omar, you have to admit she's hot, and you would like to see her naked. Come on, be honest.
No, she's not
really.
Hot. She's not hot. She's not ugly.
You're crazy.
She's not hot.
She's hot.
She needs a nose job.
Stop it.
Get a nose job.
Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
Has been immortalized in wax. The singer was in Madame Tussauds in Vegas on Wednesday to unveil her wax figure. I don't know if you've seen the photos, but it looks just like her.
Really?
The museum said Gwen's figure took 6 months to create. That's bananas.
That's bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
You know, Kevin's going to go check that out.
Oh, he loves wax museums. And interesting casting news. You know, just this week, we had on Erica Durance, who plays Lois Lane.
Erica.
On the spectacular Smallville, which comes back tonight, by the way, on the CW. They've just cast her mom to show up later in the final season of Smallville, Terry Hatcher, who you may remember played Lois Lane in Lois and Clark with Dean Cain, has signed on to play Lois's mom, Ella Lane, in the final season of the TV series, which is great casting.
I don't get the connection. I'm sorry.
See, they both play Lois Lane, They're playing mother and daughter together.
See? Would I rather see Erica Durance naked in Playboy? Yes.
Yes.
That's not the point, though. The point is Lea Michele, also very pretty.
No.
Playboy just wants to capitalize on the Glee fame.
Sure.
But if you're going to do, seriously, not to back Omar up in any way on any level ever.
What?
But if you're going to do the Girls of Glee, don't you with that Diana Agron or whatever her name is?
Is that Quinn?
Quinn's
pretty
or Santana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even
yeah.
Brittany. I mean, there's a lot to choose from over there at Glee.
Precious.
Or Little Precious.
Right? You want to see that.
Or Coach Beast. Wouldn't you like to see her in the pages
Coach
of Playboy?
Coach Beast.
They should put her in the pages of Medical Oddities Monthly so you just try to figure out what's going on there.
What exactly is this?
It's man, it's woman, it's animal, it's vegetable, it's mineral. What is it?
What is Coach Beast packing, by the way?
That's what I'm saying.
I'd be worried to see that there, I might get penis envy.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kevin Sorbo. He was Hercules in The Adventures of Hercules on television. By the way, I think you can see him this weekend at the Hollywood Expo at the Universal. No, that's in October, isn't it? We're talking to Stan Lee about that autograph signing thing.
Oh, right.
I think it's in October. But he'll be there. He's 52. Nia Vardalos is 48 years old today. And Kyle Sullivan, funny, talented actor from Malcolm in the Middle. He is 22 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Why don't you get your ducks in a duck place first?
That was a moment with Ralph.
I think row was the word I was looking for. Row.
That's
a row.
That's a tough word. I understand.
And the answer is row, Alex.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. By the way, thanks to our friends at Don Francisco's Coffee for providing coffee for the show this morning, as always. Very delicious. Wow. For more information and a coupon, go to tastedonfranciscos.com. That's what I would do here on The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:07. Oh, there it is. There it is.
That's a cool theme.
Ooh, Bored to Death returns HBO this Sunday night at 10. Jason All Schwartzman is singing right now. Used to love you, what a pity. I wonder what in the history of TV, I know Kelsey Grammer did the theme song for his Frasier show. I wonder how many other actors have started a show, Jason, and have also done the theme song for the show. It's got to be a pretty short list, I would imagine.
I don't know. Hi, guys.
Hi,
Jason.
Hi, Los Angeles and surrounding areas. Correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe anyone who's near a computer can find out, but didn't Alan Thicke...
Oh, that's right.
Did
growing
he?
Theme.
I feel
growing
like not
pains.
Only
he
that,
sure did.
I feel like he has a lot of TV theme song credits.
You're right. He may have composed a couple others. I think you're right.
I think that he did. And Tesh.
Tesh, of course.
Right. Yeah, Tesh hit it out of the
legendary
ballpark.
Tesh.
Johnny Tesh.
Right.
Yeah. But your theme's great because it gives you that film noir vibe. Right away, you get the feeling and the tone of the show just from the song, I think.
Well, you know, it's really cool. Like, Jonathan Ames, who's the creator of our show, Bored to Death,
right,
had brought up this idea that maybe I could contribute a song for the theme song, and I was, of course, flattered to do so, but wanted to do a demo of it to see if they even liked it, because, you know, it's hard to get one of these theme songs, and I didn't want to take a job from someone else, you know, and so they asked me if I would demo it, and I said that I would, but I was stressed out because I was working on finishing this movie Funny People, actually, mm-hmm. and they kept emailing me, can we hear something?
Where's our song?
And I kept lying in the email saying, I have it. I can't email you right now. I'm stressed out, but it's going well. but it's got a walking bass line. I would give them these little lies to kind of keep them satisfied for a little bit. And then I'd write back, oh, and it's got a saxophone part. And there was no song written, but I was just lying about what it sounded like. Then when it came time to actually, I really had a deadline. I had to send the song in the next day. It was quite easy to write it because to not look like a liar, I basically went through every email that I had sent and looked at all the prerequisites that I had and lies I had told, and I was like, okay, so I got to have a walking bass line.
So you're building on lies, basically.
And it's a wonderful way to lie about something for a month. And then just fulfill it.
That's a great idea.
Later. And it was fun. And then also, I wrote it on my computer on GarageBand.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a Mac computer. Right. And so if you don't have a keyboard attached to your thing, you can go in GarageBand. There's a function called musical typing. And it actually turns your a letter keyboard into a piano keyboard.
No.
And it shows you, a little icon of the piano, and you can see what notes you're playing.
Well, that's crazy.
And I was going with my wife to work. I was going to write at her store in the back, and I had brought this keyboard, a MIDI keyboard that you can plug in to the computer, and mm-hmm. I left it at home. And so I had to use my musical typing function on the computer, and I'm not very good at it. Yeah, and it's hard to play your letter.
I'm sure.
So I think that's also helped me with the song because it made it
you had to make
probably
it simple.
Simpler than it would have been had I had a keyboard. So I'm
glad
that
the song.
Well,
you need to be an Apple commercial then.
Well, maybe I could be. So it was a tremendous opportunity, and I'm really happy that it turned out good.
Well, you know I'm a huge fan of Coconut Records. I bought both of your records, and I just think you're so talented music.
Thank
I was really, really happy to see. And by the way, the Bored to Death soundtrack is in stores now with a terrific lineup of great great rock songs on it, too. Bored to Death comes back this Sunday night on HBO. Were you surprised that when you got picked up? I know that's every actor's dream when you put a new series on the air is, man, I just hope it catches fire enough that we get to come back and do another one. Were you kind of surprised you get to do another season?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. We did it's funny. When I've done movies in the past, and when you finish a movie, you hope that it turns out good and that people go and see it, but it's done. I mean, your job is done. And there's something there's a conclusion or a feeling of this is over. With television, you do it, and then it's weird. Like, you have to kind of keep it alive inside you for a little bit, but have this, not get your feelings hurt if you don't get another one.
You can't care too much.
But all you want is another one, and it's such a weird feeling. And before we got picked up, I cannot tell you the stress I was feeling. And even though we had gotten really good reviews and the show was out and people responding to it, that wasn't enough. Like, I was still just nervous all the time about getting a second season. Because the truth is, it's hard to get a job, and it's hard to get a job with people you like working with. And Ted Danson and Zach Galifianakis and Jonathan Ames, who's the creator of the show, it's such an awesome opportunity. And it's rare to get a group of people together that get along so well. And we can work on fun things and go off and make these eight little weird mini movies. And
must be going on a great date, and you're just dying to know whether you're going to get a second one.
That
or
is
not.
Exactly the feeling. Yeah. And it's just... So now I'm in the same boat. You know, our second season hasn't come out, and all I really want, besides people liking it, is a third one, because I got to tell you, I've worked in the past in situations where it hasn't been great or you don't get along with the people, and it makes it so much harder. And so knowing how bad it can be, I really am thankful for how great this is, this situation, and I really want a third one because we have... so much fun, and the show is so unique in my mind that it's just a pleasure to go do these episodes. It's so fun.
But the downside for you is if you get a third season, you might have to shave that bitchin' mustache you got rocking right now.
Hey, it grows back.
Oh, that's true.
It grows back. I thank you for liking it because that's weird. Like, I've gotten some flack.
For the mustache?
Yeah.
Oh, it looks great.
You know who gave me flack? I was on the Today Show a couple days ago with Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Oh, jeez.
Kathy Lee came at me.
Really?
I saw that. It was very uncomfortable. Yeah,
but you know what's
really
funny? Was like, I told her, too, right when it was, like, I was nervous. You know, I'm not used to the big prime. That's a big prime time slot. A lot of people watching. And we were talking, like, before the cameras went on. We were just, like, talking about, you know, just normal. And then, like, they're like, and 3, 2, 1. We're here with Jason. Jason, what's up with that mustache? It was like, pounced. But
this
I loved
this
it.
This is journalism.
But
this
I loved it.
Journalism right
but
there.
I did love it, though, because it turned out that she had made out with Tom Selleck.
Yes,
no
that's
kidding.
Right. That was the story
and
she told.
And I think they had something weird that happened, and it was all projection. She has something.
She was having a flashback.
I was Tom Selleck to her in that moment, and she was angry and like unleashing some, like she needed some kind of
this
ending to
therapeutic
to whatever
for her.
Exactly.
You're giving her a Magnum flashback. That's what it was.
This is no joke, by the way. Jason was on for 5 minutes on the Today Show, and am I lying, Jason, when I say that over 4 minutes of it was talking about your mustache, and then right before they said, "Oh, tell us about your TV show this weekend."
It's true. Which, by the way, I couldn't have been happier about because to me, this whole that was so surreal to be on that show. How much funnier and more surreal could it be to be on national television talking about a mustache for 4 minutes? That was pretty fun. That was amazing.
Bored to Death, which comes back on HBO this Sunday night. I've seen the trailers, the teaser trailer that you have for season two. You've got some great guest stars this year, too. Kevin Bacon is on the show, right?
I know.
How'd that happen?
I don't want to give away too much, but basically, Zach Galifianakis' character has some success with a comic that he's writing, and Kevin Bacon expressed interest perhaps in turning it into a film.
Oh, wow. All I know is he's got a bloody nose in the trailer, and I can't wait to find out how that happens.
It was amazing because he came to the table read, and it was just, he's such an awesome dude. I mean, he's a real badass. He was dressed in all black. His voice is so much lower than I thought it was. Like, he's super masculine dude. And it was awesome. And I wasn't there the day they were shooting because it doesn't involve me, but everyone on the crew was just saying he was the coolest. And yeah, we have Kevin Bacon, F. Murray Abraham from Olympia Dukakis, Oliver Platt's back, Kristen Wiig, tons of great guest stars. And for me, the great thing about it is like every week there's some new actor coming in who's talented and someone that I've always admired. And, you know, I'm getting to work with all of these wonderful people. And the other great thing is we have a new director every week. So you're always adapting like the way you work on a film. You work with the same people for 3 months and you can fall into a rhythm in a great way. But on television, also in a great way, you never have time to fall into a rhythm, and it keeps you kind of always adjusting, and that's really fun.
It's so funny to me when we have you in, Jason, but we got to take a break here in a second, but you've been in the business for a long time now, yet you still seem like such a fan of it, too. It still seems like every day you're excited by it.
It's a comedy.
You're not old and busted and jaded like Ralph yet.
No.
It's because I haven't been successful. I'm bitter. So he's happier.
It is a combination of the fact that I love movies and music and this coffee.
It's a
combination of Don Francisco's and just a real deep passion for cinema.
Yeah.
Bored to Death returns Sunday on HBO. More with our friend Jason Schwartzman. And is it true we're going to get your friend Ted Danson on the phone when we return?
I believe that's really happening. And
fantastic.
By the way,
yes,
you're going to see for yourselves. This is the coolest dude. This is the coolest MF on the planet.
I'm such a huge fan. I wish he was here and you were on the phone, quite frankly.
Well,
I wish he was here and you weren't on the phone. How about that?
Hey, I wish we both were here. I wish none of us were here. We were all at my house swimming in a pool of
jello. More with our guest after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ 826. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, your friend Mike Henry, creator of the Cleveland Show, joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we have your interview with Michael C. Hall. You talked to him recently about the return of Dexter this weekend.
Yeah.
So we got a lot going on here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Jason Schwartzman is in studio, Bored to Death. returns onto HBO this coming Sunday night at 10. Do we have Ted? We don't have
Not
Ted.
Yet.
You know, for me, this is the I've hit them all. I hit for the cycle for Bored to Death because last night I was hanging out with Zach Galifianakis at the San Gennaro Feast.
Oh, right.
In Hollywood,
right?
Because he did Jimmy Kimmel's show, so I was sitting down at the table talking with him, and now I get to talk to Jason, and then in just mere moments we'll get to talk to Ted.
Jason, aren't you a Italian-American?
Yes, sir.
Where the hell were you at the San Gennaro Feast? That's your people.
They
were honoring Connie Stevens. How could you miss that?
I know. I don't know. I actually
come out with some sausage and peppers and a Zeppoli.
I don't know. My wife is pregnant.
Oh.
Gonna have a baby in 2 months.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So we were, you know,
So she's not eating?
She's not eating.
Yeah.
I try to keep her. She wants to. It's more me. Yeah.
Hey, look, you got to keep appearances up.
I just kind of say, like, look, let's just try to learn from other people's mistakes and just don't eat too much, baby. And I had her at home. I was dehydrating some kale for her.
Good.
And she was on the treadmill.
You're in Hollywood. Can't you hire some hot actress to play your wife during this unfortunate time that your real wife is getting fat with a baby? I mean, come on.
That's a really good idea. I didn't even realize that.
I have a casting call for.
I know
your wife. Yeah.
Craigslist.
Did Zach change at all? By the way, between season one and season two, now that he's blown up into a megastar, Jason.
I would try to say something funny, but the truth is no. I mean, he's the coolest guy. I mean, I'm really lucky. Both he and Ted are incredible human beings, and Zach, I've learned a lot from him. I mean, like, you know, he doesn't really put too much stake in a lot of, like, the Hollywood kind of stuff. Like, oh, you got to do this, or this is really important if you do this. And he'll always say, no, it's not. It doesn't matter. Like,
he worked for a long time with very little recognition. And I think that's what it taught him. The work was more important.
He's just so, like, normal and level-headed and sweet and... I remember one time he said, I'm an overnight sensation, 30,000 open mics later.
Yeah, right.
And, I mean, he's worked forever, and it couldn't have happened to a better guy. Speaking of which, Ted Danson joins us.
Ted Danson! Hey, Ted, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm
Teddy.
Good. How are you?
Tedward!
I was mesmerized listening to Jason.
Yes. Hi, Ted. I love you.
Love you too, dude. I love you too.
First of all, I understand that you literally are taking a break to talk to us on the phone. You're actually at a wedding rehearsal or something like that right now. Is that what's going on in your real life?
I'm looking at a big old tent. It's kind of breezy. I'm on Martha's Vineyard. And my wife Mary's daughter Lily is getting married tomorrow.
Oh,
and
congratulations.
I'm actually officiating, so I am so nervous.
Well, congratulations on that. And congratulations on Bored to Death being back for season two. I was surprised to see you on that show. I don't know why, because you do so many different kinds of roles. But, man, that character looks like it's so much fun to play.
So much fun. So much fun. And I was actually sitting, Jason, in this exact chair where I am today when I talked to you, like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And you said what an amazing man Jonathan Ames is, what an amazing writer. And we had this, you know, Jason is one of my favorite actors. You can plug your ears for a minute if you want, Jason. But he Rushmore is in my top five favorite films. My entire family, you know, kind of worships Jason. And I would bump into him every once in a while around my kids because they kind of knew each other. And Jason is the reason why I got to be in this, because he was just so talented himself, and then was singing the praises of our head writer and creator, Jonathan. So anyway, I thank you, Jason.
Well,
thanks,
Ted,
to you. I'm having the time of my life.
I remember because they were saying that they wanted to try to get Ted Danson to play the role of George Christopher, and how hard would it be? And I said, well, I might be able to talk to him because I've met Ted a bunch of times through his kids because I'm friends with his kids. And
right.
Yeah, I just thank you, Ted, for listening, hearing me out, and coming to join us because it's fun. It's fun to watch you on the show.
It's lucky our show is like so perverted, because otherwise this love fest would be a little nauseating.
Yeah, a little saccharine, quite frankly.
I know.
Ted. Yeah.
I can't take it. I didn't take my lactaid. I can't take this cheese so early in the morning.
Ted, I have to ask this because your character is hilarious and is such a stoner on the show. What's the secret to playing a good stoner?
Sense memory, I think. You know what? I have found the solution to the marijuana drug problem in our country, if there is one. I swear to God, if you smoke like whatever it is we're smoking, which is basically like ginseng, right? And you take a deep puff, you hold it in, you let it out, and then you say something kind of slow and kind of stupid, and I swear to God, you are stoned. You are stoned. So you don't have to even use marijuana. Just, you know, go around smoking the fake stuff, and you will get just as high.
I'm going to open a medical ginseng shop.
Exactly.
You guys both mentioned Jonathan Ames, and it's interesting to me that he is the writer that your character is based on, Jason, but he's so involved in the television show being made. It's not like he wrote this thing and then sent it off into the woods. I mean, he's there all the time, and he actually has an appearance coming up on the show where he gets buck naked. Am I right?
This is the truth. Jonathan Ames is an incredible novelist, creator of the show, and it really is his show, and he approves of everything and writes everything, and it's that's the great thing about HBO is I think they've made basically their entire thing is about giving people with voices an opportunity to make a show and make something unique, and Jonathan is another example of someone with a very particular voice and unlike anyone else, and not only does he have a unique voice, but he has a very unique naked body that he shows off in season two. He does full frontal nudity. How many other showrunners have done that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I can't think of one.
Especially really? Matt Wiener or Alan Ball. But names like Wiener and Ball, you'd think. But
you're ready to go.
But nope, it was Ames that beat him to the punch.
Jason had that one saved up all day. He's so happy he got to use that.
Honestly, I was like, please let me just get the Wiener and Ball joke out.
So funny.
All right. Well, listen, Ted, we know you're in the middle of a personal business day, so we're going to let you get back to that. We just wanted to have you hop on since we had Jason here and just wish you both the greatest success with season two. It's a great show, as Ralph mentioned when we brought Jason in. We're so happy that it's coming back for season two. We can't wait till this Sunday night. Thank you for joining us on the show, man. Have a great wedding tomorrow.
Thanks so much.
Bye,
Bye,
Ted.
Jason.
Hey,
bye,
break a leg out there. Thank
Be
yourself.
You. God, don't let me mess up.
Be yourself. That's why they didn't hire like a professional minister. They wanted you to be yourself, so be yourself.
My mantra is, this is not about me. This is not about me.
All right, Ted. Have
Bye,
fun.
Ted.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
And Jason, I guess you'll be back.
He's screwed.
He's
going to
ruin that whole wedding.
You'll be back.
Oh, no.
They'll never forgive
you
him.
You can hear it in his voice. It was like Brett Favre walking in the other game. You could just tell he's going to lose it.
Why did I come back here?
He's the Brett Favre of officiators.
So, Jason, so we'll see you again like usual in about 2 weeks then, right?
Hey, about 2 weeks I'll be back for the second time because I'm coming next week too. So I'll see you.
Great.
But you guys, thank you once again. And yeah, Bored to Death, it's crazier this season. It's much more, the stakes are higher.
Well, I thought the show improved over the course of the first season. Yeah. I liked it. And then it really started to find its groove, I think, towards the end of the first season. I can't wait to see what you guys do
this
time around.
Like, I think you're all getting to know each other.
Right.
And it's the same thing, you know, with this season. I think it starts off strong and it only gets better as it goes on. And it's really fun to work. I've never worked on something where you work with the same crew and cast.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with the same directors a couple times, but I got to tell you, acting is embarrassing. And when you're like acting in front of strangers, it's terrifying because you're like, they're going to think I'm an idiot.
Yeah, right.
But now that I've come back and it's the same crew, they've already seen me be terrible. Yeah,
right.
They're like, oh, here's this bozo. So when you come back, it's so relaxing because you're like, oh, there's nothing to worry about. They've seen me at my worst.
So true.
And I think it allows you to have more fun, and I think that it shows in the second season.
Great.
Fantastic. All right, have a great weekend, man. We'll see you soon.
Rock and roll, guys.
Sunday night on a Justin Parrish from Woodland Hills won tickets to the K-Rock screening of The Social Network before it is available in theaters. You can win that all weekend long here from the world-famous K-Rock. It's 8:44. A lot of fun with Jason Schwartzman a few minutes ago. God, I love that guy. So much fun.
He's
Can't wait
great.
For that show to
yeah.
come back. Speaking of shows, Jersey Shore was on last night. Another new episode. LaQuisha watches it so you don't have to. Hi, LaQuisha.
If you're not watching it, you're stupid.
Oh, really? You still are on board. I know you loved it out of the gate. It has never disappointed you this whole season, right?
Every episode is better than the last, and last night was no exception. Because remember last week, Angelina was having sex with Vinny, who she lived in a house with?
Right.
But she wasn't having sex with Jose, the guy who buys her gifts and takes her out on nice dates and whatnot. Well, it was Jose's birthday, and she goes out to dinner for him, and she still is not giving it up to this guy. But at least now she's got a reason.
Jose definitely wanted birthday sex.
Unfortunately, I was really tired, you know, like, plus, it was that time of the month for me.
Oh.
No birthday sex for Jose, sorry.
No, no birthday sex for him.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing, Angelina. but we appreciate that.
There's certain, you know, without getting into details, LaQuisha, aren't there other ways she could have made him happy? I mean,
absolutely.
Come on.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's just not that interested.
Right.
And I tell you something, these people live in a house, they know a lot about each other, but there's always more you can learn. And I realized that when I heard Snooki and J-Well have a conversation about vaginal accidents.
Oh.
Did you ever get kicked in your kuka?
No, but I've had accidents.
Me too, tell me.
I think a bicycle.
Me too!
We f***ing full forward.
It was so bad. No? I ran into a house. I was like, boom. I was like, my kooka!
How painful is that?
I thought I broke my vagina bone.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
LaQuisha, what's going on here?
Oh, my God. She broke her vagina bone by falling on a bicycle. Come on.
No, I don't want to hear that conversation from anybody.
Well, then there's a lot they can learn about each other is what I'm trying to say. So, for instance, I found out about last night about the guys that just when I thought they couldn't be any more annoying about this T-shirt and the shirt before the shirt thing.
Right, right.
They really took it up a notch last night when they go to put on their T-shirts before they go out to the club.
It's T-shirt time. T-shirt time.
It's T-shirt time.
Everybody knows it's T-shirt time.
So annoying.
T-shirt time.
It's T-shirt time.
Oh my God, shut up now.
Shut up.
Yes, that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
T-shirt time.
Why do you like this show? That's horrible.
Because they're all stupid white people. And I like watching white people be stupid. That's entertainment for me. Now, situation, he gets a note left in his front door from a woman he met at a club the night before.
The note says, like, Samantha, and it has her number, and it says, call me. Now, if I wanted to decipher that for you, it pretty much says, here's my number, please call me, so we could bang real quick.
So he's got a girl coming to the house to bang him.
Wow.
Okay.
But he wants to clean up the house and make a good impression on this girl.
Okay.
So he is cleaning up, and he starts cleaning the kitchen and cleaning the living room and goes to clean the bathroom, and that's when we come full circle in the episode, because Angelina, who has a condition, a monthly condition going on,
mm-hmm.
has left, I guess you'd call it a sanitary napkin.
Okay, no. We're not going
the
there, LaQuisha, we're no.
Room.
Oh, come on.
And the situation has to clean it up.
Oh, this is the grossest thing ever.
And he is not pleased.
Like, listen, girls, I know that this happens. I know that every month there's a situation, but at least clean it up.
He, needless to say, is disappointed that he's got to pick that up. So what he does is...
What, LaQuisha? Come on.
He picks it up and puts it in her bed under her covers.
No.
So it's waiting for her when she gets home.
Oh, my God.
Now, unfortunately for Angelina, she has met a young man on the beach that afternoon that she thinks is fine. And she's going to bring him home, and they're going to get in the bed together. Well, things don't go necessarily as she had planned.
I basically picked up my pillow and I saw a used pad, on my bed. I was a little embarrassed because I did feel like I didn't know the new kid. And for him to have seen something like that, I think he was probably like, wow.
I don't think he was saying wow. I think he was saying,
Yeah. I wish this had not aired, and I wish I didn't have to hear about it.
Well, as you can imagine, this sets up a tense situation between the situation and Angelina. And they end the episode by battling it out.
You know what you're good at? You're good at being a hoe.
Oh, well, you're a dirtbag and your penis should fall off because you're disgusting. Because you're disgusting.
Yeah, all right.
Don't listen to him.
I think they're both right. I think she is a hoe and his penis should fall off.
They deserve each other, don't they, LaQuisha?
And they get physical, and they just tease you a little bit last night, and next week we get to see the actual fight between the situation and Angelina.
Please tell me this show is almost over for the season, please.
How dare you? I'm going to leave you a little present in your bed.
That's what I was afraid of.
Talking like that.
Thank you for watching, so we don't have to, LaQuisha. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Mike Henry from The Family Guy, and now The Cleveland Show coming up next on The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 8:55. It's Friday. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
Somebody tell the Buggles that their sequel is ready. Remember their smash hit Video Killed the Radio Star?
Sure.
Well, this one's ready for them now. This is their next chart topper. Netflix killed the video store.
Oh.
Blockbuster has filed bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Chapter 11 for Blockbuster. They said they simply cannot keep up with Netflix and the Redbox kiosks now outside some of your local 7-Elevens and smaller stores like that. Increasing online and digital downloads, there's just no way to keep a video store open. And so the company said they're going to keep around 3,000 stores open for now. But they lost... Their losses currently stand at $1 billion.
Wow. It's pretty much over for them, I would imagine. I mean, when was the last time you went to a video store to rent a movie?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, me neither.
I've purchased videos. I've gone to Best Buy and stuff like that to buy a video if I'm really interested in a film. But I haven't rented a film in a million years.
Times are changing, man.
It's kind of sad, though, because here's the thing. Like the record store that I also miss... There was something about the experience of going in and just leisurely strolling the aisles, looking at stuff, because you could be exposed in that way to some things that you never would have known otherwise.
Yeah,
I agree, and you can browse on Netflix, but it's not the same experience.
No, because you sort of have to know where you're going. You have to click into a certain category or new releases or something like that. But when I remember walking in a video store, I would see just a cover, the art from a movie would catch my eye, and I would look over and see who was in it and stuff, and I found a lot of great movies that way.
Right, because there are some hot chicks you don't know about yet.
That's right. Exactly. Speaking of hot chicks, Kate Beckinsale, it has been announced, will be returning as the vampire heroine Celine in a fourth installment of the Underworld movie series. I love those movies. Hollywood Reporter says the movie's set to start production in March of next year in beautiful Vancouver, B.C. So, looking forward to that. And speaking of lovely and talented, Emma Stone, who stars in Easy A in theaters now, apparently, according to Daily Variety, is up for the female lead in a reboot big screen version of 21 Jump Street. Opposite Jonah Hill.
Okay.
Wow. I'm guessing this will be a comedy, right?
I hope.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Like undercover cops in high school or whatever, and it'll be funny. They'll do a spoof of it. The good news is, well, that's good news already, but the better news is that she is being considered for the role of Mary Jane Watson in the new Spider-Man movie.
Garfield.
So
she's blowing up, man. She's so good.
Look, she put on a little weight, Beam, but it's really unfair to say she's blowing up.
No, I don't know,
a piece of cake or something. But, she's too fat. I'm tired of your attitude towards women.
No, her career. I'm just saying she's getting so popular and well-known, the kind of work she's doing. That's my point.
Oh, career. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Kevin Sorbo. He's 52 years old today. He was Hercules on television, and I always thought, what a lame-ass Hercules he is. Shouldn't Hercules be like a big buff dude with giant muscles and stuff and everything? This guy was like, hey, look at me. I got a leather vest on and a shaggy hairdo. It's like stoner cleaves. That's what he looked like to me.
He was in good shape, but you're right. He was hardly buff.
He wasn't going to tear down, pillars or anything or kill dragons, whatever it was Hercules did. I'm not quite sure. Samson may have been the one with the pillars, but I'm just saying. Actress, writer Nia Vardalos is 48 years old today. And actor Kyle Sullivan, who was in Malcolm in the Middle. Very funny, talented young man, 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show. Down.
Why is that man yelling at me? What did I do? Come on.
You know what you did.
It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. It is 9:09. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Hoping to talk to Mike Henry from the Cleveland Show. If you know Mike, go ahead and tell him to pick up his phone. That'll be coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph, I know you were at Comic-Con. You were all over the Comic-Con. You hosted like 10 panels or something like that down in San Diego this summer. And I know the one that you were most looking forward to was your show, Dexter.
Yeah, that's how I kind of got started working at Comic-Con. They asked me to host the panel dedicated to the creators and cast of Dexter. And it's always one of my favorite events every year because I'm such a huge, huge fan. And especially this year because, Michael was sick. He had he was diagnosed with cancer, and he had to go through treatment for that, and he kicked its ass, and he's all healthy now and everything. So there was a real sense of celebration about this year's Comic-Con because Michael was back and he was healthy. The previous season on Dexter with the Trinity Killer and John Lithgow was the best season ever of the show. So a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement about the upcoming season.
I am very excited for this Sunday night because I guess in this year is different from past seasons of Dexter. It's going to pick up seconds after we left the scene of the crime last year.
Right.
And now Dexter's got to think on his feet as the police arrive, and they got a lot of questions about where he was. And we all know what he was off doing. But
spoiler alert, his wife, Julie Benz, was killed in the final episode last season. So now he is a single dad raising her kids and the kid they had together, and he's on his own, and he's a serial killer. So
they unbelievably rack up the tension on that show, that's for sure. Showtime's got Dexter this Sunday night. It returns for season number 4. Here's Ralph's interview from San Diego with star Michael C. Hall.
Michael, thanks for taking some time to talk to us.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
Last season, maybe the best season ever of Dexter. It's hard to say. It's always been a great show, but you guys really outdid yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, bringing John Lithgow on board was a dream for me as an actor. I mean, I don't know. I think it'll remain one of the highest of highlights to have shared that screen time with him and to have, you know, built that insane relationship that existed between Dexter and Trinity. We would, like, just burst out into hysterical laughter, like when we do the darkest scenes. Like that day we were doing the Thanksgiving scene, you know, where he calls his wife a C and all that stuff. We would just, I mean, we were literally giddy at how absurd it all was, you know. But it was, yeah. And that finale was a shocker for sure.
I didn't catch the finale. Did I miss anything? Did anything happen at the end?
There's one small detail that you might want to fill yourself in on before you move into season 5. Yeah.
What's it like with Julie gone? I was thinking for you it must be like being the quarterback of a Super Bowl team, and then suddenly your star wide receiver is missing this season. It's got to be strange.
It is. You know, I certainly could appreciate the degree to which the relationship with Rita, that life, those kids, you know, were the center of Dexter's world. But now that it's been taken away, I really, you know, I guess I sound like talking about somebody who's no longer alive, but it really is, it's huge. It's such a fundamental change, and you know, her blood is to a degree on his hands, you know, his
literally at the end there.
Yeah, literally and figuratively. And his indulgence in the sort of relationship with Trinity, the fact that he didn't kill him right away, is what led to, you know, the situation he finds himself in now.
It certainly does open things wide open this season for Dexter really to go in any direction now that this major change has happened in his life. Does that kind of free up the creative team to maybe explore some new avenues?
I think so. I mean, we get a lot of questions. It's like, how are you going to top season 4? And boy, you guys are in trouble. But I think the flip side of that is there's this enormous opportunity for new things to be explored. You know, while it was really sad to see Julie go as a colleague and a friend, as an actor, I'm really excited about the new landscape that exists for Dexter and how it will, you know, push him into new places, undercover things that would have stayed covered otherwise. So it's juicy stuff.
Dexter as single dad is something I don't think I ever would have imagined at the beginning of the season last year.
Yeah, I think that goes for you and Dexter. He's, you know, obviously in uncharted waters. He has his foster sister, Deb, who obviously as his only immediate family is stepping up to help. They end up hiring a nanny who is going to be helping, but there's nothing like having a wife who'll cover for you and perhaps even turn a blind eye from time to time to your nocturnal activities. He doesn't quite have that anymore. So, yeah, it's a internal emotional nightmare, but it's a logistical nightmare too.
And the guest star lineup this season has expanded even more than usual. You've got, you know, 3 or 4 people coming on, all amazing actors, all bringing something new to the table. That's got to be fun as an actor too, to get to have new playmates in the sandbox.
It's so you know, amazing to, you know, from Jimmy Smith to John, and this year we have Julia Stiles, Johnny Lee Miller is joining us. The list goes on, and the fact that we do something that the acting community responds to, and that actors of their caliber, you know, are inspired to join us, it's a thrill, you know.
Well, you know, everybody on our show are huge fans, and we can't wait for September 26th. So, thanks for taking some time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for watching.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's 9:22. Hit it, Steve.
My name is Cleveland Brown, and I am proud to be right back in my hometown with my new family. This is the Cleveland Show.
I don't know, maybe the best team on television. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. The Cleveland Show returns this Sunday night at 8:30 on Fox. Co-creator, executive producer of the program, our friend Mike Henry, joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike, how are you, man?
All right.
Great to talk to you. Congratulations on the Cleveland Show coming back. Very exciting for
you
this weekend, I'm sure. So the beautiful thing about your show now having been on the air, and of course it already had quite the cachet because of its roots in The Family Guy, but now you've got fans, and now it seems like there are lots of people who want to be on the Cleveland Show this year. Am I right?
Yeah, we got a lot of cool folks. We got Kanye West back on Sunday night for our season premiere.
Awesome.
And Cleveland's going to teach him how to be Cleveland himself. And we got Will I Am, T Pain. We got Carl Reiner. We've got Justin Timberlake.
I'm so sick of T Pain and Carl Reiner being on the same show. I'm sick of that.
I know. It's a natural fit.
What about a guy like Kanye, who everybody has so much of an opinion on, even though most of us have never met him? What's that dude like to work with?
Well, that's the thing, is he's totally cool. He shows up early, shows up prepared, without a posse. He gets the jokes, he can deliver the lines, and, you know, actually appreciates the crazy raps that we write for him.
Was he so bummed, Mike, when he found out you weren't black?
I don't know. Everybody just a little bit bummed.
A little bit, yeah.
Does he seems like the kind of guy who wouldn't have that great a sense of humor, though, but you're saying the opposite for Kanye.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people have a different persona, public and private. I don't know. I can only go by what I've seen hanging out with him, and, you know, and then what I see on the TV. It doesn't necessarily add up, but he's nothing but a good guy when in person.
That's awesome. Tell me about the episode where the gang goes down to Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. That's toward the end of the season, actually. Cleveland decides to take the family to Comic-Con. Junior, of course, is excited because he's a nerd. And we get there, and it's revealed that Donna was once in a blaxploitation film called Hot Cocoa Bang Bang. they're aghast to see this huge poster when they get to Comic-Con. They're freaked out. And they've got to get this copy of this movie back because Donna takes off her top in the movie, and it's just embarrassing for everyone. And Robert Rodriguez, of all people, is the owner of the only copy. So Cleveland and Donna have to do a little chase at the end to try to get that copy back.
Oh, that's funny. We're talking to Mike Henry about the Cleveland Show returning this Sunday night on Fox at 8:30. Hey, I heard that you guys were doing one of those live events where you do the show in front of an audience. Has that already happened, or is that still coming up?
We did it last night at the Paley Center in Beverly Hills, and believe it or not, they said it was the first live table read they've ever had there.
Huh.
You know, it's the TV and Radio Museum, so that was pretty cool. We rocked out our Thanksgiving episode from last season, where Donna's auntie mama shows up and may or may not actually be a man. And so we had some fun with that, and that's actually on our DVD, which is going to be released on Tuesday of the entire first season, which has 21 episodes, a bunch of them with commentary, a bunch of extra features, and including the Cleveland and Earth, Wind & Fire Christmas song that I got to sing with them last year called Get Your Hump On This Christmas.
Oh, awesome. Which I love, by the way, which is awesome.
Thank you.
Have there been scenes that have not passed muster with the Fox censors that you had to delete for broadcast but are on the DVD?
Yes, of course. And, you know, the Thanksgiving episode, for example, has many unbleeped scenes and some craziness that you wouldn't find on the air. And there's a bunch of other deleted scenes, stuff that, you know, obviously we couldn't air, but we figured we'd make it for the DVD.
You know, Mike, it's funny. I knew when you started the show that you would obviously get the Family Guy fans and they would be watching. But it seems like the Cleveland Show has developed a whole separate breed of fans that are just being introduced to that character for the first time through your show.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty cool, actually. More and more I'm hearing that people really are digging the show. And, you know, we set out to make a little bit different of a show than Family Guy because Cleveland's kind of a nice guy, kind of a sweet guy, albeit kind of an idiot at times. But yeah, it's a little bit different feel, and, you know, we're just embracing that.
Will there ever come a time in our remaining moments here, Mike, where we have to worry about the Bears next door? Because that seems like a situation that's potentially fraught with danger there.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe they miss hibernation or don't get a good season of hibernation. Maybe they're cranky.
Yeah.
You know, they got sharp claws.
Just don't poke them with a stick.
Right. I would be nervous. All I'm saying is if I live next door to a family of Bears, I would keep my eyes open. That's all.
Yes, I would too.
All right. The show is called The Cleveland Show. It's one of the funniest half hours on TV, and it returns for an all-new season this Sunday at Fox. Mike, it's always great to have you on, dude. Good luck with the show this year.
Hey, thanks, guys. And thanks a lot.
Hey, don't forget, for all things Epicenter 2010, whether you're going to the show or not, lots of great information for you up at krock.com. It is the world-famous K-Rock at 9:35. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, I understand I blew it with Mike Henry.
Yes, nice work.
Do a thing with
now
a deal.
He'll never bring me back to do voices on that show because you pissed him off.
I know, I did screw up. I blame myself.
No, I want to make good, though. I've got DVDs to give away for the Cleveland Show. You heard Mike talking about them. They've got all kinds of deleted scenes. Some of the episodes with full commentary of the cast and creators of the show. If you're a big Cleveland fan show, you're going to want the complete season one on DVD. It's in stores Tuesday, September the 28th. But I've got five DVD sets to give away right now. If you're a big Cleveland fan, call now. First five callers to get through at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. You get the complete season one of The Cleveland Show on DVD. Again, it's in stores everywhere, September 28th. Lindsay Lohan!
Yeah, what's going on?
The story is in. We've seen what's going to happen. It all happened this morning. Lindsay Lohan is in custody. She gets no bail, according to Judge Eldon Fox. Denied her bail.
No kidding.
Right to jail.
Wow.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
That's like surprising. The worst of all the possible scenarios, wasn't it?
And she will be sitting there until at least October 22nd.
No.
Yes, because the judge has demanded that she be held until her next hearing, which is October the 22nd.
Oh, my gosh.
That is, wow, that's such a surprise.
Lindsay was handcuffed in court before being taken into custody. Everyone is pretty much shocked because the underlying offense, the failing the drug test, is a misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
And people that were connected to the case were telling TMZ.com that the judge had to offer Lindsay bail. But apparently she did not.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Ralph.
I'm just saying, Lindsay, as far as Lindsay's reaction was, she was shocked. As you can imagine, when the judge remanded her into custody, she looked at her lawyer before being taken out of the courtroom. I think they told Lindsay, don't worry about this. It's a bailable offense that we will just put up the bail and you'll go home. I think she was totally blindsided by this.
That's really something else. Look, you could argue, as we have on this show with Dr. Drew and others, whether it's more appropriate to send this someone with a problem like this to rehab versus jail. But you can't argue that she didn't have all the warning in the world that she was bad things were going to happen to her if she started using drugs again.
The lawyer, the judge said, come back with your toothbrush if you end up back in my court.
Yeah. I mean, she certainly knew what was at stake here, and she did it anyway. So how about that? That's
maybe she just thought she had really bad breath when she was in court last time, and the judge is asking her
just
to clean up a little bit before she came
in.
And it wasn't like this was a surprise drug test either. This wasn't a pop quiz.
Yeah.
They didn't show up and say, oh, we're going to test you. They told her they were going to test her.
Yeah.
She must really love cocaine.
She must.
I hear cocaine's a hell of a drug.
You hear. Omar says he hears.
Of all people. I think we should drug test you now, Omar, and see what's going on. Could you pee in this cup for me?
If we had a drug test on this show, it would be a very quiet room.
Bret Michaels can't catch a break. You know, he had a brain bleed in April. And then he had a hole in his heart that went all the way to China. That's what I heard. No one gets that. And apparently, he's got to go back for heart surgery. The hole was discovered after he had the stroke. So he's got to go in and get that fixed. But the doctors expect a complete recovery. So
how's his hairline, though?
We don't know, because he wears that...
we'll never know.
That do-rag, so we don't know how he's doing, but we'll have to wait and see. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody good?
Mm-hmm.
It's a quiet room.
We're all trying to decipher the whole thinking about the drug all the way
test. To China. That's what I'm thinking. I think everybody's ready to get out of here.
I need some coke, dude. Seriously.
Omar's jonesing for a bump.
Call now at 800-1067. Come on. The number is...
Bean's packing his socks. Lisa's already mentally checked out. She's walking her dogs in her mind.
Lisa's going out of town for the weekend. I'm going out of town for the weekend. Ralph, you're heading to a movie set. You're working this weekend. So I think we do all have plans. That's true.
And I just need coke.
Omar's got plans.
Typical weekend plans for
plans
Omar.
For his nose. Rob Zombie has become quite the movie director.
Yeah.
You know, he did his reboot of Halloween and the sequel, and he was supposed to direct a remake of the classic 1958 horror film The Blob. However, he's decided not to.
He said after doing the remake of Halloween, he decided to do something original instead. So he's come up with a film called The Lords of Salem. It's about a small town that gets invaded by 300-year-old witches, a coven that's been around for 300 years and takes over the town and wreaks havoc, I'm sure. So he's going to write the screenplay and direct that new film.
He's talented.
He is. Good filmmaker. Kate Beckinsale is going to return to the world of vampires in the fourth installment of the Underworld movie series. Hollywood Reporter says they start shooting that in March. And Jamie Lee Curtis is talking a lot this week, and she's got that new movie, You Again. It comes out with
Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell. That's what I was trying to think of. And while she's doing interviews for that film, she's also addressing the fact that they are doing a TV version of True Lies. I don't know if you heard that or not, but the movie James Cameron directed with her and Arnold Schwarzenegger is being turned into a TV series. Jamie told The Hollywood Reporter that she is confused. She said, the funny part about the story is the mistaken identity part. Once she knows he's a spy, I don't know how you can continue that. How do they make it funny once she finds out what he does? Which is an excellent question.
Yeah. What would Arnold have to say?
Charges. No one knows what that means, but what he was saying. And Joaquin Phoenix is now himself again. If you saw him on Letterman this week, but he is giving up that persona in the movie I'm Still Here. He is once again Joaquin Phoenix of old, and apparently he's quite the ladies' man. Now, keep this in mind. I don't think you can ever trust anything Joaquin Phoenix ever says again, right?
It feels that way, yeah, I agree.
Apparently, friends tell AbsoluteNow.com that whenever he goes out with a young lady, he insists that she stop calling him by his given name and call him Kitten instead.
Hmm. Okay.
Kitten. Speaking of names, Portia de Rossi has been granted a name change. Yesterday she was in front of a judge in Los Angeles, and now she is legally known as Portia Lee James DeGeneres. Of course, she and Ellen DeGeneres are married, and now she has the official name change to prove it.
I love fish tacos, but are they better than eating beef tacos?
And lastly, Tommy Lee may win the Coolest Dad of the Year competition. He tells Us Weekly magazine that he threw his son a rave for his son's 14th birthday.
Oh, God.
When life throws you a curveball, lemonade.
Kid's 14 years old, and Tommy Lee's throwing him a rave for him and his little friends.
Yeah. Crazy.
The cops had to show up three different times, Tommy says. He was so pumped, Tommy added about how pleased his 14-year-old was that the cops showed up three different times.
Yes.
He's a good dad.
Someone send child services over there to take a look at what's going on in the Lee household.
If you mess with the bull, get back on that horse.
That's not even true. That's wrong.
Tommy Lee's got a lot of good advice.
He's confused.
You know, if you mess with the bull, go for the gold.
Okay. It's always the bull. Why does the bull always seem to come up?
When, you know, life looks at you funny, take the fast lane.
Take the fast lane. Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kyle Sullivan from Malcolm in the Middle is 22 years old today. Nina. I've had trouble with this name all morning long. Nia Vardalos from My Big Fat Greek Wedding and My Big Fat Greek Vacation and My Big Fat Greek
Nose.
She's 48 years old today. And Kevin Sorbo, who played Hercules, in my opinion, unconvincingly on television. He is 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you very much, Ralph. And
watch Sharktopus. Watch Sharktopus.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Sharktopus on the Sci-Fi Channel tomorrow night at 9 o'clock with our own Ralph Garman and Eric Roberts. Can't wait to see that. Thanks for all of your help and Lisa's help and Omar and Alex and everybody for Kevin being out on vacation. He will be back next week. Ralph is going to be off filming a movie with Kevin Smith, so have a great time from that. Check in if you can, man.
I absolutely will. I will.
Also on the show Monday, it's going to be awesome. Our friend Patton Oswalt will be here. He's got some upcoming comedy dates. He's always hilarious. Jesse Eisenberg on the show today from one of the best-reviewed movies of 2010, The Social Network. We'll have Jesse on the program. Live music from Bad Religion in studio. They're going to be performing for us. They're one of the all-time great live rock bands. I can't wait for that. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and actor Adrian Grenier. He, of course, from – is it Grenier? Grenier?
I always thought it was Grenier.
Grenier? Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay. All right, from Entourage, of course, and he is, he's got a new movie out as well, so he'll talk to us. That's all coming up Monday right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Let's do that thing that we do at this time every day. Wouldn't be a Friday without a little Bogarting. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean show.
Don't Bogart.
guard that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's the devil's music. The devil.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello.
Roll another one.
Dude, where's my car?
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
I'm not sure what that means.
I need another hit.
Wiggity, wiggity, whoa, wiggity.
And you're a whore.
This one seems to be about to end.
We've got vomit!
I don't have another cent.
What's the problem? You're gay. Say it loud. Say it proud. Pretend it's a parade.
I got a taco right here.
Just pass it around.
Lube it or lose it.
If you're going to say something, get it over with in a hurry, because we're leaving.
You're quitting?
Let's just call it a strategic withdrawal.
We've got to put a stop to this so that I can get out of here. See, I'm not built to work 5 days a week.
We're finished. We're done. Game over, man. Game over.
So you can run and tell that, homeboy.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Mel. Take care.
Bye-bye. Asshole.
Everybody still awake? All right, big finish.
Okay, by my watch, it's margarita o'clock.